Beloved, the Father of Light is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint. Now his excellency of speech will by power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit enjoy the Spirit.
Just take a few minutes or seconds or moments, as it were. Ask yourself, what do you really need? That you need God to step in. What do you need? He speaks. He provides. That's what makes him a father. He has the capacity to provide. He has the capacity to meet every need. You may need a job. You may need an intervention. You may need peace of mind. You may need something. The Bible says the fullness of him have you received. Grace for grace. The law came by Moses, but truth and grace came by Jesus Christ. I don't know what it is you need. It may be somebody. It may be for somebody. That's the privilege of being a priest of the Most High. Father, we thank you for that word, for that song that has again come to give assurance. Father, my desire for us in this season is that our hearts will be encouraged not to abandon you. You will help us, O Lord, to keep trusting. Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name we are prayed. I didn't hear a big amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You're all blessed in Jesus' mighty name. All right. Father, we thank you for this hour. Lord, as I go into this world, I pray that heavens will open and you will bring understanding, and where conviction is needed, you will convict us concerning our sins and our act of unbelief, and you grant us grace to make amends in the name of Jesus. Bring honor to your name. Let your church be edified, because we pray it together in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Good morning. Technical, is it possible to give me a little trouble? This thing appears to be flat. Hallelujah. Good morning, church. You're welcome in Jesus' mighty name. So many things is going through my mind this morning. I'm trying to see so I don't run off track. I want to thank God that this morning, an initiative we've been thinking and praying about has started. We are planning to have a walk in Ileluji, and it started this morning. Can we just lift us and just bless the Lord in the name of Jesus? They have started service. We started service this morning. I didn't announce it before time. I'm just announcing it now, so that when it is time for us to carry ourselves to Ileluji, you will not say, "What are they doing there?" We have started a good work, and to prosper in Jesus' name. This morning, I have many things I wish I can say. Why am I doing? You wonder, because many things are running through my mind. 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 2. Paul was writing to Timothy, and he instructed Timothy. He didn't admonish. He instructed Timothy. He said, "Preach the word. Be instant in season and out or season." What was it required to do? What was it required to do? In out of season and in season, what was it required to do? Reproof. His preaching should entail reproof. What should it also entail? Rebuke. And what should it also contain? Exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. You know what it is to exhort? It means to encourage. And you encourage with long suffering. There are people that you need to hear the same thing 4, 5, 6, 10 times. That's what we call long suffering. You stick with them until they grasp it. Not all of us are equally intelligent. We are not all on the same level. Praise God. You know, I've always decided that when I grow up, I'll be like Pastor Dansu. Praise God. He didn't catch the joke. Those people know book. Amen. That's my desire that when I grow up, I'll know book like him. Amen. There are things he will grasp immediately. I will need a long while to understand what is this day we're talking about. What are they talking about? You guys have been in that kind of class before. I told about one of my classmates. You know, when we did a test, he was the only person that got 20-20. The rest of us, the next person was scoring 6 over 20. And we had to complain to the lecturer that please conduct this test again. I said, but this person scored 20-20. And we told the lecturer he's not in our class. Praise God. Those of us in the class, we know. Praise God. Are you with me? It is so true also in the spiritual realm. That people that can grasp spiritual truth very easily, some of us will take a long time. So Paul said, with long suffering and with doctrine, praise God. And that's what I want to do this morning in the name of Jesus. And Revelation 3:19, I also want to say this. I'm just laying the foundation. Revelation 3:19. Rebuke, reproof is not convenient. I don't know how many of you enjoy it. When they stand you up and somebody scolds you, you love it. When they do that to you, you jump up and say, praise the Lord, hallelujah, they scolded me. Some of you will leave church. Am I talking? Some of you will swear, if I greet him again, my father was not the one who born me. Do you follow me? So it's natural for all of us. But this is what many of us need to. Because Pastor was talking, I heard you this morning about renewing your mind. Renew your mind also entails you agreeing. Am I making sense? You do what? You agree with what God said that is superior to what you think or anybody have said. And so you agree that you align with what God has said. Now, this is what you have to realize. It says, as many as I love, I don't coddle them. Hello? God said, I do not do what? I don't coddle. I don't go about kissing them. What does he do to those he loves? So when you see rebuke and you see chastising, you naturally will assume is an act of unlove. Is there any word called unlove? Eh? That he does not love me. I was accused once that I don't love. I said, I don't know. If that's the only way of doing love, you can keep your love. Amen. I'll sit down in my own territory. One of the signs of love is chastising, rebuke. So God said, the many as I love, I rebuke. I correct. And sometimes it could be sharply done. Praise God. So if you are a child and you consider yourself a child, rebuke should not be something that will make you walk out of the house. I raised my sons. I was very hard on them. But none of them one day stood up and said, I'm leaving, I'm not coming again. Because I corrected him. I don't know whether I'm making sense. You don't do that. If a son in their house, you don't walk away. Praise God. As many as I love, God said, I rebuke and chastise. He said, be zealous therefore, and do what? Repent. That's the purpose of rebuke. Repent. That's what makes you a better person. Repentance should not be something difficult for you to do. Praise God. Especially once the Lord convicts you and tells you what you did is not right. Just change. To make you a better person in the future. Hallelujah. So I've laid the foundation for what I want to talk about this morning. I don't know what, Salami, what will be the title of today's message? You have no idea. Speak, enter the prophetic. Just give me Hebrews 3. That's what I'll take my text for. Hebrews 3, verses 7 to 9. By 7 to 19, I will not read the whole story because it's long. Now, please, I want to say this. The Bible warned us, especially if you go to 1 Corinthians 10, 11. It says the things that are written were written for us as what? Examples. They are examples. You know what example is? What is the meaning of example? Example. Praise God. That is the translation and the meaning of example. Example. In other words, you see what they did and you just make sure to take your lessons from there. It says, all these things happened to them for examples, and that they were written for what? Our admonition. Why? It says so that we don't make the same mistakes. So there are mistakes that are occurring. People say that history repeats itself. So you must be a good student of history. Not the history of Ijapa and No, not that history. You need to look at the history of the people of God and the mistakes they made. Now, what I will talk about today is temptation. I want to talk about what? We often talk in church about the temptations each of us face. And that's good. And we cannot mention it enough. Because every day we forget how to handle temptations. And so it's necessary for us to remind ourselves. But I want to talk about us tempting God. Pastor mentioned here that God cannot be tempted. Praise God. That is true. You can't tempt him to do evil. You can't walk up to God and say, God, this is sin. If you do it, I promise you I will worship you. I will give you all my worship. God won't do it. Praise God. Nothing can move him. Nothing can shake him. No amount of, you know, anything can move him. Because lust does not reside in his heart. In fact, everything you see today, everything anywhere, came out of him. So when he said all of them are wind, you don't know why they are wind. Because he spoke them. They were all words that came out of his mouth. They are wind. Nothing is real. You hear what I'm saying? Nothing in this world is real. None of them are real. They are wind. The only thing that is real was what came out of him, which was your soul. Do you hear what I said? Only the human soul is real. Every other thing that you see, none of it is real. That is why it is easy for him to destroy everything, and yet he is not. It does not reduce in weight. The law of thermodynamics. Matter cannot be created. He will destroy it. When Pastor said that where fire is coming to him, fire bows, he is the origin, he is fire himself. Have you seen fire burn fire? It doesn't work like that. He is the originator of everything you see are all typologies of him. He created them. They came out of him. He spoke them into existence. And he said he would destroy everything. The whole material world. When I say material, the physical you see and the microscopes you do not see are all physical. Are you with me? So when you look at coronavirus and we are afraid of coronavirus, I have to remind myself, are these things not created? Are they not physical? Why am I afraid of them? If I'm not afraid of Google in the night, why must I be afraid of coronavirus? You think the angels can't see coronavirus? You think it's by this one, you came from Lagos. I can know you came from Lagos. You too, Ayo, you came from Lagos. There are the people that are wearing nose masks. You think it's by nose mask? Psalm 91 says, the pestilence that walketh at what? These are the spirits who control. There are people who have, you wear nose masks. and they caught coronavirus. So it's not by nose mask. Except the Lord builds the house, the labor in vain that build it. That's a story for another day. You can use your nose mask, that's your problem. Amen. I'm not judging you. I hope you don't feel judged. Praise God. But the truth be said, you must know how to put your trust where your trust should be. It is in God. You can enter a corona-infested place and you will not catch it. Because the Lord is your shield. We have to begin to... That is renewal of mind. Praise God. I have not started my message. Hebrews 3. Wherefore, as the Holy Spirit seeth, today, everybody say today. Everything about God is in the present tense, especially if he's dealing with us. Faith is a present tense thing. Hope is a futuristic thing. Praise God. Hope is futuristic. Faith is now. Today, if you will hear his voice, what does it say? It says, harden not your hearts. As in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me and proved me and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore, I was grieved with that generation and said, they always err in their heart. Everybody, please pay attention. They always do what? Err in their what? In their heart. And they have not known my ways. Let me stop there. They have not known my ways. One of the major challenges we face in our days and time is many not knowing the ways of God. I was talking with Pastor yesterday evening. And you know, many prophets prophesied about Trump becoming the president. And when Trump did not become president, many were apologizing. And one person said, prophets don't apologize. If you hurt God, we're not a popularity contest. I'm not here to please you. The Bible said before his master, he stands or falls. He doesn't owe you anything. If the Lord spoke to him and he spoke to you, it didn't really come to pass, it's not his business. If you have issues, go and meet the person who sent him. You don't apologize. And believers who are writing on Facebook and calling them prophet liars, you will see what will happen, no? Because what you do not appreciate will not bless you. It will not bless you. And Pastor was telling me that, do you know what Isaiah said in those days? He said, a virgin shall conceive. Who would believe that? Who will accept that? And can you now imagine, Isaiah was about to die. And said, man of God, you said a virgin will give birth. No virgin has even conceived though. And people would have gone on Facebook and said Isaiah was a false prophet. We have to be careful. Say, harden not your heart. You are living in dangerous times where men's hearts will be hardened because of things that they will see. And for those things, the Bible said they provoked God because they did not believe, because they did not accept, because they will not agree with God. And God said, because they have not known my ways. They don't understand the way God behaves. Jeremiah complained. He said, God, you sent me to prophesy, I prophesied, and nothing came to pass. He said, you have deceived me. Jeremiah complained too. God does not deceive. He said, the God of Israel does not lie. He doesn't lie. If he has said a thing, he will bring it to pass. It is you that don't know how. So the Bible says, wait for it. Though it tarries, wait for it. Say, the heavens and the earth will pass away, but my word will stand. Hallelujah. So these are the things we are coming to. Because the Bible says a time will come. I'm deviating, Pastor. This is not my message. But as the time will come, when scorners will arise, and they will ask us, where is the promise of his coming? You have been saying it since the father slept, he has not come. Praise God. Then people start apologizing. We don't know what happened. Actually, you say, shut up. There's no God anywhere. And you say, oh, it's looking like that too. Don't apologize for God. They did not employ you to do that. It's your responsibility to know his ways. We have a church that is only interested in the power of God. But there is one that is even more important. You must understand his ways. One of the episodes that I did yesterday, Elevation Nuggets, I picked a particular example. Where is the mic? Where was that in Revelation? Is it Revelation 3? The Bible says, and there was these souls. And that's when they broke the fifth seal. When the fifth seal was broken, they said there were these souls that were under the throne. And when they were allowed to speak, that says, and they cried with a loud voice. Say, how long, O God? How long, O God? Now, understand this. When they died on earth, they died with disappointment. With pain and sorrow. Thank you, sir. They were pained and they were sorrowful because they assumed that God ought to have saved them. They had boasted that God will save us, and God did not save them. So when they appeared in heaven, the first thing they told God, how long? You have not avenged us. You promised, you said you are the God of vengeance. You did not allow us to curse these people, and we didn't curse them. Now, look at them. And the Bible says, Psalm 73, they all died in their sleep, in the good old age. Wicked men died in their good old age. And God said, calm down. Calm down. So in fact, there are so many of your brethren that will still be beheaded. Cool down. Supposing you were in Babylon when your friends Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had the trumpets, had the music, and refused to bow down. What would you have said to them? You'd have gone on Facebook. Where I want to see on day again. They think they are holier than Jesus. They are very, very proud. Do you follow what I'm trying to say? And when they now came before the king, and the king said, actually, I heard that the boy is here, bow down. Show Tony. I said, you cannot be. I know you guys, you are very respectable Christians. Hallelujah. But they are telling me that you are stubborn people. So I want to prove it. When you hear the music, I want to see you bow down. And you know how they responded? They didn't say, oh king, they say, oh Nebuchadnezzar. Kai, they added insult into injury. Oh Nebuchadnezzar, no king. Be it known unto you, we shall not bow down. He said, our God is able to deliver us. But in case, only choose not to. But even with that, we still will not bow. There were people that said, our God will deliver us, and he did not. There are many in history. When you get to heaven, you will meet them. Tell your neighbor, you will meet them. Make sure you be there, sha. Just make sure you get there. That's what is important. You will meet many of them that were disappointed. Do you know how many people, Hebrew said, he said they walked naked. They were destitute. When you are lower than beggar. They lived in caves. Have you tried sleeping on? How many of you used to go to Orioke? Amen, Orioke. The Lord is here. The Lord is seeing you. Hallelujah. God is catching you now. Amen. God, it's good to catch people like this. Did you carry your phone to Orioke? How did you sleep? You slept standing and you are speaking in tongues. You slept on the bare floor. How comfortable was it? Pastor, how comfortable was it? It was like pillow. It wasn't. They were living like that, destitute. Did they have clothes? Did they have clothes? Did they even have water to take their bath? All those necessities. Did they even have clothes up to wash their teeth? Are you with me, church? That's the world war. But see, when you look at them from the natural, you pity them. Am I communicating? People pity them. Ah! Ungbawe remorsing. Just shake it like this. And God is not this difficult to. I don't know whether I'm making sense to anybody here. But the problem is that you did not see what they saw. And the Bible says the earth was not worthy of them. That was God's judgment. I don't know what you are going through. And people are looking down on you and say, ah, I'm sorry for you. But the Bible says they don't know what glory is resting upon you. Praise the Lord. I have a pet theory. I can't prove it now. I have a pet theory, but I can't prove it now. Praise God. The pierce theory, I've not proved it. Don't go and preach it outside. Please, I'm begging you. Don't say my pastor said. What is the disclaimer? Don't go and quote me. I have a pet theory that is looking to me that the church may end up in a, not in a blaze of glory, but in weakness. Are you with me? For people to be coming and say, where is the promise of his coming? That means that we have come to a place where we are very weak. Hello, do you understand me? Now, there are people who say, ah, Lord, let us show power. God may not release that kind of power in the last days. Is a pet what? I'm still thinking about it. I've not proven it yet. I'm still going to go and do research. But you can follow me, do research. Praise God. I desire to show the world how powerful Jesus is. If it's left to me, I can just stand and say, all the dead in, all the mortuary in Akure, rise. In fact, the international ministry has started. International ministry. CNN, they will bring play to Akure to come and look at me. Praise God. I'll be a tourist attraction. Glory to God. And before you can see me, you'll be dropping dollar at the gate. Amen. You know, that would be very powerful, don't you think? It will be as if we are bringing glory to Jesus. It's good. But that may not be the way God wants it done. So the Bible said they had a problem. They did not know his ways. So they went about doing things that was not in line with his character. They began to ask. They began to desire things that were completely alien to his nature. And therein lies the challenge we face today. Let us look at some of the things they did. I'll just browse through it. Let's go to Psalm 78. Psalm 78. I'll just pick some few verses. Verse 18. Okay, let's pick from verse 17. Now this is what the Bible says. And they sinned yet more against him by provoking the Most High. Where? In the wilderness. They provoked him. How did they provoke him? Look at verse 18. And they tempted God in their heart by asking meat for their lusts. That was the first provocation that I want us to look at. They provoked God by asking for meat for their lust. You know, James speaks about that. Said the reason why our prayers are not answered is because we want it for our lust. Are you with me? Somebody told me about a junior sister who went collecting money. She tried to collect 5,000 here, 1,000 here, 3,000 here. She collected the money. And you know what she ended up buying? Phone of 80,000. Student. Are you understanding me? Please, what do you do with fund of 80,000? Are you going to be calling Bill Gates? Hello? And the girl does not, see, final year, she doesn't have laptop. Oh. Only laptop. Oh, there are 80,000. What do you call that? Oh, you both say misplaced priorities. Many of your priorities are misplaced. Completely misplaced. As I am now,
It can be understood that I can afford a phone of 80,000. Because maybe the meetings I go to, I'm meeting big boys there. Praise God. But who will I call with a phone of 80,000? Except, of course, that phone has functionalities that I need to use. Then it makes sense. But if you are not using those functionalities inside that phone, something's not right with you. It's true talk. All of you. That's how I will rebuke you. Amen. You want to buy laptop? Shesha told me. He said laptop, Apple laptop. He's have $1 million, Tokumbo. He just laughed at me. I said, it's not your fault. 500,000. That has bought a car. I bet you must pay 500,000 on a motor. Or a motor. You know that car will bring you more glory than a laptop. Glory to God. But sincerely speaking, why will I spend 80 million to buy a car? For what? Who am I trying to impress? Who am I trying to... Because that car and my car, we get to Lagos at the same time. Sir? Oh, thank you, sir. If I give you 8 million, go and use it to buy a car. And then start drinking Gary at the end of the day. My sister once told me, her husband, when car was car, when G-Wagon, just, is it G-Wagon? Okay, he bought a G-Wagon and bought his wife a Formatic, G450 Formatic. Fine, powerful machine. Those are not cars, they are machines. Praise God. Ah, I say, sister, my bro, I say, your husband will buy this kind of car. I say, Kora, one single dress. Money, my dear, if I were you, go and sell this car. Go and sell this car. He said, okay, the worst he can do, Akonri Mole, go and sell this car. And go and buy a car of 1.2 million. And be humble yourself. And use the balance to start a business. My sister did not listen to my advice. Look. Don't blame God. God has blessed you, but you are not having common sense. Don't buy things because somebody else bought it. Buy it because you need it. The cars I have, they are not assets, they are liabilities. They compete with my wife. Abima. But technically, they are not assets. They become assets when I can use it to generate income. So if it's not going to bring me income, then what's the purpose? Praise God. So I kept my GMC against medical advice. Because that's what I want to be using to go to farm. Praise God. You see, now it's not going to be an asset. Praise God. That Benz is for office. Because I can't go to Akungba with a bad car. Pastor has gone to Akungba. You know how Akungba Road is. You need a machine to travel that road. Hallelujah. So you understand. But if I have money again, I won't be buying cars. I will be investing. Many of you, you have money, you are buying food. Instead of you buying 15,000 naira food. Save my soul, the King of Heaven. Can you see your soul now? What will 15,000 phone do? Pastor, I think you have a good phone. Look at Pastor this way. And he's calling and we are okay. We are okay. Life is not finished. Tell me, since you were on Instagram, how much have you made? Hello, Lekpa. Who is an Instagram major here? Okay, don't tell us. But you know about Instagram. Abi Grace, how much have you made from Instagram? I know you make money in here. But who else make money from Instagram? Goodness, I saw you during the holiday. You've not made money. All of you just go like this to take selfies. How much have you made with your selfies? It's better to have to borrow yourself common sense. If you save 10,000 every month, is that not too much for a student? Somebody get that kind of money. If it's 1,000 you are saving, till the day, for the next 20 years, you know how much you will make. Hallelujah. You have to start changing your mind and be invested driven. Stop eating everything you have. This is why many of us are poor. Because the enemy has conditioned our minds. Everything you see, you must eat. That is why that Nigerians are always eating bushmeat. Endangered animals, they will eat it. Even if they see, if it's possible for you to see meat in a cockroach, they will eat it. Why are we like this? What is driving it? Is it poverty? And the sad thing is that the people who buy those animals are rich people. After eating it, what does it add to you? Nothing. Nothing. So that's why you say, Pastor, I want to give you bushmeat. It doesn't move my soul. When they serve me food and they put all the meat there, I will not eat more than one piece. I will go my way. Is it not my small stomach? Will I carry it to heaven? Look, praise God. Some of you, if they put food, you'll be speaking in tongues. The Lord, I bless you. Kabashede Baba. They will know how mighty I am. You don't live for those things. These were guys who were living for food. Bible said they wanted meat for their lust. They wanted meat. And that made God angry. Let me give you another example. My time is gone. I said, I want to crave your indulgence and ask for 5 minutes. But I don't know whether I would do that. Look at verse 22. The second thing I heard they did. 22. Go to verse 22. The Bible told me, oh yeah, go to verse 22. I'm waiting for you to jump. The Bible says, because they believed not in God and trusted not in his salvation. That became another act of temptation. They did not trust in God. You see, it's easy to be a Christian, but technically you are not a Christian. I'm not saying that you have not been sanctified. I mean, Pastor, we talked about sanctification. You can be sanctified and not be a believer. A believer is not somebody that says, I know there is God. I know Jesus Christ died for my sin. That does not necessarily make you a believer. A believer is he who puts his trust in God. And when he's faced with circumstances, you will see that trust in God. Hello? I've added another layer of definition. The Bible said, they believe not in God. That means they had no confidence in God as being able to do it. Whatever it was that they were going to do, he was taking them through the wilderness. You know, remember that when they came out of the wilderness, the Red Sea, the Bible said before they got to the Red Sea, there were two routes. There was one that would have taken them 11 days to get to the promised land. But there was one that would take them 40 days, but it would necessitate them passing through the Red Sea. God decided to take them through the longer route. Now, to you and I, that does not look like it was reasonable. But he said that the reason why I did not take them through the shorter route, you will give me 5 minutes, so, Rofem, Abu is there. I'm asking for 5 minutes. Whoever is there, just give me 5 minutes. He said, lest they see war and run away. But the second option did not look any better. Abi? Because they had to confront the Red Sea. So which was better, the war or the Red Sea? They got there and they cried to Moses. He said, and were there no graves in Egypt that you have brought us here to kill us? From the first day, God has been having a problem with them. They had no confidence that what he promised he was able to do. And nothing is as difficult as a person not having confidence in you. Have you seen a child walk up to you? Let me say, Shindara walks up to me and I say, okay, come, let me carry you. And she refrains from me carrying her because she doesn't trust me. I don't know whether you understand me. You may say it's normal, but it's not naturally normal. Because I carry her and sometimes I throw her up. She doesn't scream, Daddy, where are you? Somehow, she knows somehow, I will catch her. Praise God. I don't know whether you are with me. Because he has put her faith in me. But a time will come when she grows up like Jael, I can't try that. Because chances are that I may not have the capacity to hold her when she's coming down. I don't know whether you understand me. Those of you that used to be yahoo. Sometimes the woman will look at you and say, don't try it. Don't just spoil anything here. Just leave me alone as I am. Praise God. Because she does not believe you have the capacity to hold her weight. It's okay at that level. But when you are coming to God, we can't be singing songs. But in reality, we don't practice it. You can't say, God, I trust you. And you step out of there, and the first thing is that you are looking to the arm of flesh. That was happened to Israel. Let me show you another example. Are there no graves in Egypt? Are thou taking us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore art thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? They did not trust in the salvation. Praise the Lord. Verse 36. If you look on verse 35, it said they remembered God was their rock and I God their redeemer. But the Bible says, nevertheless. Everybody say, nevertheless. When we come to church, we remember God that is our Redeemer. But when we step out of here, our matter becomes nevertheless. This is where your renewal of mind comes in. This is where discipline comes in. Can you keep those things that you've heard? Can you keep it? Even when you step out of church, when you are not within a church setting, can you keep those things? Can you let those things guide you? Nevertheless, they did flatter him with their mouths, and they lied unto him with their tongues. 37. Why? For their heart was not right with him. Neither were they steadfast in his covenant. You know what it means to be steadfast? You know what it is to be steadfast? That means they did not waver. Did not waver. They stood unmovable. They kept the covenant. Even when it was not convenient. When people around them were not in agreement with them, they kept the covenant. And because they did not keep the covenant, the Bible says that they were liars. Ask yourself, are you a liar? Let me warn you. Revelation chapter 21 verse 8. It said, all liars will find their place in the lake of fire. All. That is universal set of liars. No, liars have is a set. And they have subsets. So the word all liars include all kind of lies, including exaggeration lie. Praise God. No, exaggeration is called fabu. And when you say something in church, I say, Lord, I love you. Ah, Lord, I will die for you. And you step out there and say, shirimani. I can't die like that. You have entered all liars. He said, but the fearful and unbelieving, and the abominable and murderers and warmongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Beloved, let me stop here. I want us to evaluate our hearts. It's an heart issue. Heart. What kind of heart do you have? Their heart was not steadfast. There was two or three examples of kings. The Bible says they did what was right in God's sight, but not with a perfect heart. The conditions made it possible for them to do what was right. But immediately the influence that made it possible for them to do what was right was removed. Their real character was shown. Many of you are just coming back from what you did for the past 10 months, we were not there. Hallelujah. Some of you abandoned your Christianity for that time. When we get back to school, we'll pick it up again. It's not done that way. Praise the Lord. The Lord will have mercy. Their heart was not right with him. Neither were they steadfast in his covenant. Verse 38. And see his reaction. But he, being full of compassion, forgave them their what? Iniquity. And destroyed them not. Yea, many a time turned he his anger away and did not stir up his wrath. Many of us are standing today because God has shown mercy. It's not because we are okay. It's just because he has chosen not to respond. But you know the Yoruba say, or the Yoruba say, or Nigerian say, that one day for the thief, I mean every day for the thief, one day for the owner. You don't know when the owner will show up. You don't know. That's why you need to put your life straight. And this morning is an opportunity. Can we bow our heads and talk to God? There are many things that were written in Psalm 78 that I don't have time to read. But you have an idea. They had a problem of loss. They had a problem of lack of confidence. They did not show confidence in God. They kept making unnecessary demands. They kept giving Moses trouble. There was a time they followed idols. So many times they provoked God to anger. And I don't know. We don't have the privilege of knowing what is taking place in heaven. How Jesus has to be making intercession for us. Because we provoked him with our behavior. Can you ask him for mercy? And if you're in the church, you have issues. You have been living a life of compromise. And you want the Lord to forgive you. I would like to pray with you. Just raise your hand wherever you are. Your life has not been straight. You've been desiring things you should not desire. You've been turning back. You've been struggling. I want to pray. Father, we thank you. Father, I ask for mercy. You showed them mercy. The Bible says the child you love, you will chastise. You will rebuke, you will chastise. Lord, I pray that your love will be our banner and that we will be worthy to stay under that banner by you teaching us of your ways, by you opening our understanding, by you helping us to grow out of this stage into a more stable way of living, that our hearts may be steadfast in the covenant. Lord, help us. Guide us. Help us to be true all the time. That whatever it is that we have said in your presence, that we may keep it even unto our old age. Lord, we bless your great name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
If you've enjoyed this message from the Fountain of the Spirit, you can get more of our messages and make more inquiries about the ministry by calling the numbers 080-372-60299 or 080-395-48289. You can also be a part of one of our many Spirit-filled meetings. School of Diocesis every Tuesday 6 p.m. Governmental prayers every Thursday 6 p.m. Sunday meetings 9 a.m. Grace be with you.